the United States Senate is due to vote on a second term for Federal Reserve Board Chairman Ben Bernanke tomorrow. The president nominated Bernanke for another term, despite the fact that the most egregious failures of the financial system took place under his watch. A number of progressive-leaning Democratic senators, including Bernie Sanders and Russ Feingold, have led an opposition to block Bernanke's reappointment, especially given the increasing public disillusionment with the financial crisis and how it's being handled by the White House. In a speech earlier this month, Bernanke attempted to explain the origins of the crisis by saying that it was because of, quote, not only weaknesses and regulators' oversight of financial institutions, but also more fundamentally important gaps in the architecture of financial regulation around the world. But critics have pointed out that as the chair of the Federal Reserve, Bernanke had the power to rein in financial institutions, but instead did nothing. Now, with the full weight of the White House behind him, the Fed chair confirmation on Thursday seems assured of the necessary number of Senate votes. My guest is Robert D. Auerbach. He is a professor of public affairs at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. He's also the author of Deception and Abuse at the Fed, Henry B. Gonzalez Battles Alan Greenspan's Bank. Welcome to Uprising, Professor Auerbach.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, there has been this opposition from some quarters of the Senate for several weeks and months now to the reconfirmation of Ben Bernanke as Fed chair, but that seems to have necessary number of votes seem to have been gathered because of the White House push. Why do you think President Obama is so heavily insistent on having Bernanke as chair of the Federal Reserve for a second term?
Well, one of the problems in the economy is people really haven't figured out what the government's doing. And I can understand why he doesn't want to cause more confusion, just wants to continue with Ben Bernanke, despite the fact that the Federal Reserve has put in motion under him not only the makings of the present crisis, but the makings of the next financial crisis.
Why do you say that?
Let's just take a few things, and then I'll mention something that might be newsworthy about President Obama's speech. When the economy, we had this financial crisis in September 2008, the Federal Reserve under Chairman Bernanke started pumping tremendous amount of money into the economy. And they did keep many of the banks from failing. That was a good thing. Even though some of the bailout was very clumsy. But they started in September paying interest on the reserves that banks hold, a quarter of 1% interest. I went out to Orange County, Chapman College down in Orange County, and I gave a speech last January, and I said, paying one quarter of 1% interest is an incentive for banks not to lend to small businesses. Why are you paying interest on the banks holding, as of today, they hold over $1 trillion in reserves. It just ballooned. And I made that statement. It got into Barron's. Bernanke went to the a National Press Club, and he said, well, we're paying interest on reserves so the banks don't loan it out at a lower rate. How can they loan it out at a lower rate? The target rate goes down to zero unless they give it away. So they're still doing that today. They're paying the banks a quarter of 1% to hold on to their reserves and not loan out to businesses. And the Fed's own economists at the St. Louis Federal Reserve, William Gavin, agreed with me in March in their review that this is an incentive for the banks to hold on to the reserves rather than to loan them out into a risky environment. I think that's malpractice. That's just one of the many things that are malpractice. In addition to that, Sonali, they keep saying, we want to prevent too big to fail. So what have they done? They've allowed banks like Bank of America to become monstrosities that cannot be examined by the examiners at the Fed. By letting them buy Countrywide, then Merrill Lynch, they've built it up. And I believe that Bank America may now be violating the law. And let me tell you why. You know, I spent 11 years, I was the economist of the House Financial Services Committee. We passed a law, Mr. Gonzalez did, who was the chairman of the committee, then ranking member, that no bank in the United States can own more than 10% of the domestic deposits. Well, Bank of America was right up to the 10% mark. And when they bought Merrill Lynch, they decided anything that Merrill Lynch had in deposits, they weren't really banks, so we haven't violated it. They may now, if their deposits have increased even a little bit, have gone over the 10% mark. Where was Ben Bernanke? They violated what Congressman Gonzalez was trying to do, keep banks from controlling a major part of the nation's money supply and making them too big to fail. Bernanke has made them, Bank of America, too big to fail.
What about the president's recent efforts at regulations that he said once in place will really rein in some of these banks that are too big to fail?
Well, some of it's very good, and I like Chairman Barney Frank, part of what he's doing. You know, these bills are so enormous. Chris Dodd's bill, I tried to print it out on my computer, and the printer broke. It's like 2,000 pages. But some of it's good. And one of the major problems in banks is that the board of directors of the banks are elected by the bankers in the district. So the board of directors of the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank, which has its main headquarters in Los Angeles, are elected by the banks in the California district. So you have the bankers regulating the banks and giving the banks loans. That's a terrible conflict of interest that should be stopped. And I just read, it just came over Politico, that Obama tonight would like to tell the people that they want to keep foreign banks out of the elections. So it'll be just not for, excuse me, want to keep foreign corporations from influencing our elections. Well, what's happening in California? The banks owned by foreign investors, sometimes even foreign countries own part of the bank. This is true in California and New York. They are voting in the directors of the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank. I think that's a terrible thing. And I think it means that we don't have the correct regulation in those districts that are primarily interested in domestic priorities. So I wish he'd change his speech tonight and say not only foreign corporations, but foreign banks should not be allowed to elect the board of directors of the Federal Reserve, our central bank, which is going on now.
I'm speaking with Professor Robert Auerbach, who is a professor of public affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. And we're talking about the fact that Ben Bernanke's vote for a second term is coming up tomorrow. By the way, the president's State of the Union address can be heard live tonight on KPFK, along with analysis by KPFK host Ian Masters from 6 to 8 p.m. this evening, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time here at KPFK. You can tune in to hear the whole thing live, and tomorrow we'll bring you an hour of analysis of that speech. So at this point, do you think that it looks like the Senate votes are pretty much assured for Bernanke, and that even though there is opposition from some progressive quarters of the Senate, as well as actually some right-wing quarters of the Senate, that the Senate as a whole, even some Republican senators will go along and confirm Bernanke?
It looks like that Senator Boxer said she won't vote against. She won't vote to filibuster. In other words, she'll let it go to a. At least that's what's been reported. She'll let it go to a 50 instead of a 60 vote. It'll only take 50, and then he'll be reconfirmed. And I would just like to add, Sonali, that I have nothing personally against, I used to work at the Federal Reserve, against Ben Bernanke. I think he's probably a very fine person. His assistant, Donald Cohn, is a friend of mine. We worked together at the Kansas City Fed for 2 years, and he's been with the Fed 40 years and devoted Fed employee. I just very much dislike their policies, and nothing has been corrected. They've put in place the very thing that they're telling everyone they don't want anymore, too big to fail. And Bernanke, who supposedly studied the 1930s, knows that one of the reasons that the U.S. economy turned sour in 1937, 1938, was that the banks started holding too many reserves and not loaning to businesses. That's what's happening now, and they're getting paid by the Federal Reserve to hold those reserves. It's a very bad policy, a malpractice policy that's hurting all the small businesses.
And also, just given the president's, the opposition to some of the president's plans, we've been talking about this on this program for, you know, many times now, that you have a right-wing movement that is adopting the language of populism, that is asking the right questions about how is it that these huge banks get bailouts and what happens to the rest of us. And the Democrats, who are supposed to be looking out for the little guy and our Democratic president, are not putting their money where their mouth is, if you will.
Right. I mean, if you consider the week back in September 2008, when they decided they couldn't do anything to stop Lehman Brothers from going. Evidently, that wasn't a major priority. They have all kinds of excuses. And what they did is they saved AIG, and a lot of that money went to Goldman Sachs, and now they don't want to release just who got what. It's a very, very bad background when the money just that went to AIG could keep unemployment compensation going through the United States for a much longer period for all the people that are out on the unemployment lines. It's just awful at present.
But of course, the president has also proposed a major spending freeze, which he was expected to announce an outline tonight as well, to essentially, I suppose, appease the Republicans. A spending freeze would contradict any increase in unemployment benefits, right?
Well, I hope not. And it's just a token. He's going to say $15 billion. But when you're talking about a $1.1 trillion deficit this year, it's a very small amount. Mm-hmm. And also, a major problem is that the Fed has pumped all this money into the, as I mentioned, into the banking system. If they do start loaning all that money, we could have a higher interest rates and more of an inflation. We don't have an inflation at the moment, but we have a dropping dollar, dropping in value, because foreigners are worried about the value of the dollar, and that means that imported goods are going up in price right now. Nobody pays much attention to that.
Right. Well,
it's just a token if he says he's going to, you know, have a freeze across some discretionary items.
We'll have to have you back on to continue this conversation.
Oh, thanks,
Professor Auerbach, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Professor Robert Auerbach is a professor of public affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. His book is Deception and Abuse at the Fed: Henry B. Gonzalez Battles Alan Greenspan's Bank. For Sonali, subversive thought for the day, Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth." That's Albert Einstein. That's Sonali, subversive thought for the day.